Well, let us join together in prayer as we prepare to hear Scripture read. God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, open us to your word, that we would hear what you would say to us today through Jesus Christ, who invites us to welcome him in, even before we are ready or worthy. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. The writer of this psalm is an older, more experienced person instructing others to trust in the Lord. Let us listen together to the word of the Lord. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And this passage is a very familiar story of small Zacchaeus climbing up a sycamore tree to see Jesus as he arrives in Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Hear now the reading of God's word. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner? Of the one who is a sinner, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, this week, we're going to continue to talk about money. Money is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible, so it makes a pretty relevant topic for our lives today. Throughout Luke's written account of Jesus in ministry, there is an ongoing theme of the rich versus the poor. Luke's message is directed towards financial security, and well, Jesus has a lot to say about living rich and poor. The importance of wealth and poverty is important to Luke, evident from early in the gospel when, in her Magnificat, Mary speaks of the Lord sending the rich away empty and filling the poor with good things. The poor are blessed in the Beatitudes, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The foolish rich man who builds bigger barns to contain his wealth dies with nothing to show for it. And his story is followed by the image of the ravens and the lilies and the instruction from Jesus, sell your possessions and give alms, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in this week's reading, Luke tells a story of a rich man making contact with Jesus. Every time I read this story or preach on the story, I think, of course, the old song that some of us learned growing up. But instead of this being another story where the rich are put in their place, Zacchaeus becomes a positive example for God's people. The rich are viewed with suspicion in this gospel because, well, wealth is a problem and a danger. It was back then, and even today, we can admit that it can be a problem and danger as well. Will this be another tax collector who leaves everything and follows Jesus? Or will this be another rich man saddened by the claims that the kingdom makes on him and his wealth? It's helpful to understand the meaning of Luke using Zacchaeus, a tax collector, as an example. Tax collectors were looked down upon by those around them in Jesus' time because they were infamous for overcharging taxes just to keep a large part of the tax for their own pleasure. They were not keen on helping others, mainly just helping themselves and filling their pockets with other people's money. So any complaint directed at them, well, that would be justified. And don't even think about offering another cheek to the collector who has struck you right where you keep your money. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, and Zacchaeus is very, very rich. Tax collectors were one of the most marginalized people in Luke and are among the lost that Jesus comes to seek out and save. So Luke tells us that Zacchaeus runs ahead of the crowd to climb a tree so that he can see Jesus. The reference to his stature might point to the fact that physically he is small, but it also might point to the ways in which Zacchaeus is shunned or barricaded from Jesus. It may be that the crowds aren't letting him get close enough to see Jesus. But whatever it is, his shortness forced Zacchaeus to make other arrangements to see the man called Jesus, who had created quite a stir among the cities that he had visited. And it's possible this stir Jesus had created was troubling to Zacchaeus. Jesus was, of course, speaking often against all the behaviors and actions that had made Zacchaeus rich. It was Jesus who spoke countercultural to that life that Zacchaeus had made for himself, even if it was hurting the livelihood of the people all around him. So knowing these stories would also lead us to presume that Zacchaeus faces a difficult interaction with Jesus. And perhaps Zacchaeus knew this, and therefore he climbs a sycamore tree to place some distance between himself and Jesus. In fact, it could be that Zacchaeus had no intention of speaking to Jesus, but just wanted to see the man that everyone had been talking about. Whether Zacchaeus wanted to speak to Jesus or not, Jesus did. And his first words were not words of woe or condemnation, but an invitation to share a meal with Zacchaeus in his home. Now, it must have been like a president of the United States or a senator or someone asking to eat dinner with a homeless person or a drug-addicted mother and not doing it during their campaign season. It was just unheard of. It wasn't appropriate to the people around Jesus, and they thought Jesus should eat with anyone other than a hated tax collector. Yet, in case you haven't noticed, Jesus likes to do things that are not of the norm. He eats with those who are deemed unfaithful or unworthy of a kind gesture. He rebukes the rich and he blesses the poor. He questions the faith of the priests and praises the faith of a child. Another reminder of the ways that Jesus turns our world upside down. Jesus speaks Zacchaeus' name and his life is immediately changed. Because Jesus has offered salvation to Zacchaeus long before he knows if Zacchaeus will accept his salvation or change his life. And suddenly, we are also reminded that God gives first to God's children. God gives salvation long before we know we need it. God gives love long before God knows it will be returned. God gives forgiveness long before we accept it. God gives and gives and gives while we receive and receive and receive. And Luke tells us something about the way that Zacchaeus receives this invitation from Jesus. Zacchaeus accepts it, and Zacchaeus accepts Jesus' intent to dine with him, not with a frown on his face or a sense of worry, but with a light heart and a smile. Zacchaeus drops immediately down from the tree and happily welcomes Jesus to join him in his house. And before they arrive to his home, Zacchaeus declares that he will give half of his possessions to the poor and will repay anyone who he has defrauded four times as much. This makes me believe that Zacchaeus was very ready to turn his life around. Because just because someone is rich in wealth doesn't mean that they are rich in spirit. Money affects our relationship with God, and it seems to certainly be affecting Zacchaeus' relationship with his neighbors. So when God calls out to Zacchaeus, he responds with obedience and faith. And the story of Zacchaeus tells us that the gospel is about a serious commitment to God, but it is also about joy. We good church folks do not always do joy very well. And the story of Zacchaeus should convince us to do better. Zacchaeus reminds us to give thanks to God for everything we have received personally and as a church, and then encourages us to give with joy, remembering that what we receive is never ours alone, but places us in an opportunity to be faithful disciples. The danger for those of us who have attended church for years, who have proclaimed that our Lord Jesus Christ is ruler of our lives, is that oftentimes we forget the joy of receiving. That's why celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion is so vital to our individual lives and our common life together as God's church. We need the remembrance of Christ's sacrifice in the bread and the juice that we drink together. I know I need it, because you know what? There are some days when I fight with my husband. There are some days when I miss opportunities to connect with Mackenzie. And there are some days where I get really impatient with a woman filling out her WIC check to get milk for her kids because, well, she's just taking too long in the grocery line and I need to keep moving. Communion is serious business, but it's also a celebration. It's a spiritual reminder that our salvation is not contingent on our efforts. Thanks be to God. God's promises to us doesn't mean that we may remain totally passive, though, just receiving, going about life without a thought how we can take a step toward Jesus as he walks miles and miles to find us again and again. We forget what it means for Jesus to look up at us and invite himself into our lives, because God has been a part of our lives forever. We forget the grace and the forgiveness and the overwhelming love extended to us. That's why we need communion. And that's why I'm so glad that next Sunday we get to celebrate the baptism of Evie, because it's a reminder we all need to know that God loved us first before we even turned to tell God that we loved him. I don't want us to forget the joy of receiving. I want us to be a community who gathers together to receive unmerited grace and proclaims joy when we receive forgiveness and new starts. I want us to respond like Zacchaeus with great joy and this desire to give half of our possessions to the poor and to repay anything we may have taken from another. I want the church to make a commitment to Jesus without a frown on our faces, but with a light heart and smile, just as Zacchaeus does. I want to be part of a church who proclaims salvation has come to all the grumblers, all the complainers, all the sinners, and all the children, which just might mean that we have to leave our safe places. You know, Zacchaeus' safe place was that tree, and he came out of that safe place. And so we might have to leave our safe places in our pews, in our social circles, maybe leave our convictions of what we think church or worship should be like, and come down to meet Jesus. Rather than expecting other people to change so they can meet Jesus, what if God is telling us that we must change so that others can see Jesus? What if we, you and I, are the ones that are getting in the way of people seeing Jesus? I hope not. One of the things I love to do when reading a story of Jesus' interaction with people is to try to figure out where I might be in the story. Now, today you might be feeling like Zacchaeus, eager to learn more about Jesus and change your life dramatically. Then let me tell you that I believe this is a church in which you can leave your safe place and meet Jesus with supportive people around you. Or maybe you are one of the people in the crowd gathered to meet Jesus as he travels through Jericho, or maybe you're part of that small crowd that has been walking with Jesus. And just when it might be your turn to touch his hand or make eye contact or maybe get Jesus' attention for a moment, you watch him take notice of the most annoying and non-deserving person that you know. The tax collector, the incarcerated, the family on welfare, well, the man with no job, the visitor with no ties to your city or your church, or even that one who always comes for free lunches. Well, if this is you, then perhaps Jesus is ready to change your opinion about the kingdom of God. And I pray today's message might soften our hearts towards the need of others. People standing in the crowd, and even those walking with Jesus, have a tendency to judge anyone who catches Jesus' attention away from themselves. Well, we start to grumble, don't we? And we say, well, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner? And they begin to say, this is not what Jesus should be doing. This is not who Jesus should love. This person should not receive from Jesus what I received because, well, I deserved it. I've been good. Today, as we celebrate communion together, we have the joy to stand up and approach the table prepared by our God, even if it isn't the way that we think communion should be served. I think it's a great physical reminder that we must at times, well, really all times, respond to God's grace. When graced with a memorable encounter with God, Zacchaeus left his safe place, even if that placed him in an uncomfortable moment. Zacchaeus just had to. That is the power of Jesus' ability to change us. But the wonderful thing about Jesus' love is that even when we're not ready to leave our safe place, Jesus can meet us there. And that's reflected as well in communion. For those folks that feel more comfortable sitting in the pews, you have brothers and sisters around you who will come to you and give you the grace that God gives so freely. That's the wonderful thing about being in community, is that we can participate together loving Jesus without judgment. But here's another thing to think about. If you aren't hanging out in a perceived safe place away from Jesus, there are others who are. And so the other thing we need to remember is that we can't get in the way of people seeing Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek the lost and to save the lost. So as we try to follow Christ in worship and in our work lives and in our home lives, may we embrace the attitude of we Zacchaeus. And as we prepare to make our pledges to the work of God's church next week, I pray today we embrace the joy of receiving God's grace at the table and then leave with conviction that we are then called to extend joy to the lost who are around us. To God be the glory. Amen. We're going to continue our worship with one another, reminding ourselves of how deep the Father's love is for us. Please stand and join with me in this song.